We find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. We've crossed over Jordan to gain a fair land, and this feels like heaven to me. Oh, hallelujah, this feels like heaven to me. Praise God, this feels like heaven to me. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan to gain a fair land, and this feels like heaven to me. So when we are happy, we sing and we shout. Some don't understand us, you see. We feel what the Spirit there is in the doubt, and this feels like heaven. Oh, hallelujah, this feels like heaven to me. This feels like heaven to me. Oh, I crossed over Jordan, and this feels like heaven to me. We've heard of sweet music, that heavenly court, from glory land over the sea. A soul thrilling message from Jesus our Lord, and this feels like heaven to me. Oh, hallelujah, this feels like heaven to me, to me. This feels like heaven to me. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan to gain a land, and this feels like heaven. Oh, hallelujah, this feels like heaven to me. This feels like heaven. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan to gain a land, and this feels like heaven to me.
Let's sing that song, I Know It Was the Blood.
We know
it was the blood. I know it was the blood.
I know
it was the blood.
Saying, I know it was the blood. And it doesn't stop there. It says, I know it was the blood for me. So why don't we just all take a little bit of time to put ourselves under the blood before we open the word. We don't want to open the word with defiled hands, defiled hearts. Why don't we all just come, thank the Lord for his grace, put ourselves under the blood. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy.
May we, Lord, save you. Father, be Lord. Father, it was what our wife. Father, to be Lord, even when saying our story.
Saints, we do greet you in Jesus' name this evening. Let's open 1 Samuel chapter 1. We have quite a number of requests here. We'll put them a little bit later on. But let's open 1 Samuel chapter 1. We'll just get a reading from the Word. just get a thought so we can come before the Lord in prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is about Hannah. Let's read from verse 6. This is, "And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb." That's speaking about Hannah. "And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, 'Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head.' And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah had spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, 'How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee.' And Hannah answered and said, 'No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto.' Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him.' And she said, 'Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight.' So the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad." May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Just want to take a small little thought here, bearing in mind that it's a prayer meeting this evening, and our petition is for the Lord to grant us grace as we'd gather this weekend. To grant us grace this evening, obviously, but to grant us grace as well as we'd gather by the grace of God on the weekend. And I just want to speak about Hannah's appointed time. Now, Hannah had an appointed time. I don't know if you remember, but I think last year or maybe the year before, we were speaking about the different feasts in Israel. Because you'll find here that Elkanah and Hannah and Peninnah, the family, they came up, it says, year by year unto the feasts. They were coming up to Shiloh. They were coming to the Lord's appointed place where he had instructed his people to gather. This was the place that the Lord had chosen to place his name. Inside of the tabernacle, beyond the veil, between the wings of the cherubim, was the very Shekinah glory of God, was the very name of Jehovah, his personal presence himself. And in that presence, hidden behind the veil, was the answer to any prayer that could be prayed. Any need could be met. Any person that came to that particular place, the right way, the correct way, approached that place the correct way, it was amazing the things that could take place. But as you read through the scriptures, and even if you look in this story here, many people would come up to the feast, but you don't see many, many prayers being answered. You don't see many miracles or testimonies being made, even in these chapters that you read. The only place we read of it here is the story of Hannah herself, that something happened to Hannah, and it's recorded in the Word. So there must have been something different about Hannah, the way that she approached this particular feast, this particular year. Now, when we had a look at the feast, we knew that we looked at the word feast, translated in the Bible, actually means an appointed time. So when the Lord called his people to these 7 feasts, the feasts of the Lord, the Bible says, these were 7 distinct times that God had appointed for his people to gather together in Shiloh or in Jerusalem when it became the temple. So these were appointed times that Jehovah had with his people. And God said, gather at these appointed times. So for the rest of the year, they would offer their sacrifices, do whatever they would have to do. But there were 7 distinct feasts gathered in 3 different seasons in the Bible where the Lord told his people, come and gather in the place that I've placed my name. Come and gather. And these were the redemptive feasts of Jehovah. These were feasts of redemption. So this is where the Lord wanted to reveal redemption in some way to his people through the Passover and through the Feast of Unleavened Bread, through the Feast of Trumpets. We know those different feasts. And the reason the Lord wanted his people to gather was because the people had been out there. Maybe they'd been at war. Maybe they'd been in the fields doing their business. Maybe they'd been rubbing shoulders with the nations round and about them. And it was quite an easy thing for the people, the covenant people of God, Israel, just as much as with us being the chosen people of God, to lose the vision, to lose spiritual momentum. So the Lord in his wisdom had these special occasions, these special appointed times that he told Israel to gather together in one place, to forget about their business for a while, to forget about the troubles out there, about their plowing of the fields or the harvest of the harvest, or whatever it was that at that season of time they're engaged in. But the Lord said, come and gather in the place where I put my name. And this was a wonderful thing because the people could come and get new spiritual momentum once again. Maybe the people's spiritual batteries were running low and they would come up maybe to the Feast of Passover. And the Lord now, if they approached that feast the right way, that great presence of God in the midst of, between the cherubim behind the veil, would minister grace unto his people, and the people would have fellowship with one another, but more importantly, they'd have fellowship with Jehovah in these redemptive appointed times that Jehovah had chosen for his people to gather at various times during the year. And these gatherings were for, they called holy convocations. They were for sacred purposes. God gathered the people together not to come and speak about their business and not to come and speak about the affairs and natural things of life. But these were specific times where Jehovah had a specific purpose in bringing his people together. And that's why we like to have special meetings as well, don't we? So that we can just for a season forget about the toils of life, forget about all the hustle and bustle, and just come and sit and with a desire to sit at the feet of Jesus, that he may minister new vision to us, that he may minister spiritual momentum to us, that he may once again draw nigh unto us so that we can have a deeper revelation and reality of his divine reality. And that's why God wanted his people to come together at these times to these appointed feasts. The prophet calls them conferences with God. That's what you'll find in the message. These were times of conference with God. It's good to have conference one with another, but we need conferences with God. And the prophet says the world comes together. They have their drinking, eating of all their four-course meals, three-course meals when they have their big conferences, the leaders of the world. But the prophet says, but God, when he calls for a conference, it's when you meet with God. He says, and God gives you orders and you go forward and he goes with you. So God has these times and he wants his people to draw nigh unto him so that he can renew his orders to you. So that maybe you were losing direction in the battle. Maybe you were losing direction in your life. Maybe you had starting to despair about overcoming certain things. Or maybe you had questions and things that you didn't understand. Jehovah had these appointed times, redemptive seasons that he would tell his people to gather before him. And if people would gather the right way, these were times that the Lord would want to reveal these redemptive attributes that he had, the seven redemptive names of Jehovah, under these seven redemptive feasts. And people would come, and like the prophet says, people would come and you would have a conference, have communion with God. And God could renew your orders once again. And you leave those kind of times, and friends, we know what it's like. You approach services the right way. And when the presence of God comes down and God's quickening gets in his word, how wonderful it is to receive fresh orders from the five-star general himself once again. Amen. That you know exactly how to approach the things that you're going through. Amen. That maybe you came there confused. Maybe you came then your mind was spinning. But you find when he comes down and you have a conference with God, you know exactly what it is that you're supposed to do. New hope rises up. There's a new divine reality inside of your soul. There's a quickening that comes from the presence of the Shekinah. And that's the very purpose that God wanted his people to gather for. So that when they would go back from the feast, back out to the harvest, back out to their farming work, back out to whatever they were doing out there, that they'd go with a renewed momentum in their calling. Because these feasts were only for the covenant people of God. These feasts weren't for everybody. The Hittites never were invited to these feasts. The Amorites, the nations round and about. These were the feasts of Jehovah. We invited his covenant people, Israel. These were the feasts of Israel. So these were feasts that were by divine appointment only. that God would invite his chosen covenant people to come to his chosen place at his chosen time. And friends, I think if you approach something like that the right way, something good's going to take place. Amen. It has to. And we've been invited by Jehovah as well in this day in our lives. As his chosen people, he has a chosen place, he has a chosen time, an appointed time that he wants to meet with his people. And that's what these feasts were all about. They were reserved for the covenant people of God, but they had to be approached the right way. And that is why you find when you get into the story now in 1 Samuel, Elkanah and his family are coming up to one of these feasts. And if you read in the Bible, we've read it already, it says they would come up year by year. So they would come up each time that Jehovah required them to come up. And they would come and offer their sacrifices, and they would come now when the children of Israel, the covenant people, would gather together. But the main feature of this story, the main character is Hannah. And she had been coming to these feasts for years, but she still had a problem. She would come with her problem to the feast. She was barren. She would attend the feast. The priests would do their offering, do their sacrifice. It'd be the worship, maybe the sons of Asaph, whatever it was, and the different types of worship, the different things they would do during these special appointed times. Jehovah was there beyond the veil. He was dwelling on the mercy seat, above the mercy seat. There was the blood of the lamb. There was the ordained priesthood. There was so much that Jehovah had done. But Hannah would come up every year, burdened and troubled and not understanding why she was barren, why she was in this kind of a condition. And then she'd go back the same way. And she'd go back sad as well. And friends, I think that's a sad thing to do. I really, really pray for myself and for each of us that when we come to this appointed time, this weekend, that none of us will come with burdens and needs and things to the appointed time that Jehovah's appointed for his people to gather together when he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there in their midst. And then we go from there the same. We come with these burdens and we're sorrowful in our hearts like Hannah, and you're going back the same way. And you're going to go back out there now to the toils of life and to the warfare out there. And you're going back still with your burden still upon you. I don't think that's Jehovah's desire. And I really do believe if that is the case, and we're not approaching these feasts the right way. But this particular year, there was a difference the way that Hannah approached the feast. And there was a great difference in the results that were born in the feast for her. And I really do believe if we look at Hannah and emulate her and strive to approach it the way that she did. This was under the old covenant. The covenant of bulls and goats, friends. We're under the new covenant, the blood of the Lamb himself. The blood that speaks far better things than that blood back there. And if we would approach this coming appointed time that Jehovah has given to us, that the children of God will be gathering together for a conference with God, I do believe that if we approach it the right way, we'll never go back the same as the way that we came. I really do believe that. But it's up to us the way we're going to approach this. And we'll see it here in the story, the way that the prophet speaks about Hannah's appointed time. So God's grace, friends, and every divine purpose that God has an appointed time. And it was now Hannah's appointed time. That's what you find in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She had come many times before, but now was her time. And it's such a wonderful thing when you can discern your time. Jesus said you can discern the signs of the skies, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And I'd say that's the greatest thing in anybody's spiritual success. If you ask somebody who's ever received anything from God, is you discern the season and you approached it the right way. And you knew this is my time of visitation. This is a time when God has appointed something for me. And you follow it through and you receive the blessing. And you go back from that place and you say, this was God's appointed place, God's appointed time, and God's appointed way of ministering his blessing unto me. But it's quite an easy thing to miss that. It's quite an easy thing for Jehovah to draw near and maybe open up the spiritual doors of heavenly blessing and be inviting you in on the deep calling to the deep. But we get so caught up in our own affairs and we come unprepared many times and weighed down by the things of this life that we don't discern that the door to our appointed time is laying open before us. That is now maybe our day of visitation, our time that Jehovah wants to do something. You know, that word when it says the feasts of Jehovah, that also means the spiritual anniversaries of Jehovah. And I really do believe that God in our spiritual diaries, there's certain times that he's appointed that he wants to do something for us. That we'll write it in our spiritual diaries and never forget it all the days of our lives. And like David, when he'd be lying there in the night watches, when he was out there in the wilderness and he could remember back and go back in his mind through his spiritual diary to the times, those appointed times that Jehovah had ministered to him. And I would really believe, I'd be 100% convinced that God, this weekend coming, has a desire to put something in our spiritual diaries. Amen. I believe that. But if we are only half as willing as God, is something good's going to happen. Because he desires to do it. That's God's desire to reveal himself. But you've got to come apart these things the appointed way. Because these are sacred feasts. These are holy convocations. These are times of sacred purpose. These are times where it's a conference with God on holy ground. And if you're going to come with our hands stained with blood, and you're going to come with our hearts contaminated by the things of the world, no matter how much God has good design, good things, we don't receive very much. If Moses never took off his shoes, the burning bush wasn't going to say another word to him. That's what the prophet said. When the burning bush said, take off your shoes, this is holy ground. Jehovah wasn't going to unveil any more of his covenant purpose to Moses until Moses did exactly what it was and approached reverently in this appointed season that God had given unto him. So this year that we're reading about here in 1 Samuel 1, it was a time when Hannah brought her burden to the right place. She had this burden. And for the first time now, she brought it the right way to the right place. She may have shared her burden with everybody else in her village, wherever she was from. She may have told all the other sisters. She may have told all of her friends, anybody wanted to listen. And that was okay. But there was one who could make a difference. And that was Jehovah. And he had appointed a place, and he had placed his name there, and he had appointed a time, and issued an invitation, and said, come. And she came this year. And this year, she wanted it to be different. She didn't want it to be the same as the other years. And she approached it that kind of a way. She'd been so many times before, but she never received full benefit. I'm sure in the years before, in the feasts before, she had received some benefit. I'm sure that Jehovah had ministered to her, and the priesthood had ministered to her in some way. But she had never received the full benefit of what Jehovah had reserved for her. She still had a great need inside of her life. She still had a great deep inside of her. One of those things that whenever she'd be feeling like rejoicing, maybe getting up in the morning, she'd think once again of the barrenness of her womb, and it would weigh her down once again. Have you ever had something like that in your life? I know what it's like. The Lord can be blessing in other things, but you've got that one particular something that is just a burden to you. It's just a burden, and you so desire the Lord to minister grace unto that burden. Like her, she had that burden day by day, and the devil was shooting as much as he could at that burden. And Peninnah now was mocking her and saying all kinds of things, cruel things to her until she would weep. It wasn't an easy thing that she was experiencing. But she would search her life, Hannah, and she'd see, but I don't have any sin that I've hidden in my life. I don't have anything inside of my life that I'm holding back from Jehovah. I'm not walking in disobedience. I don't understand why it has to be like this. And it would confuse her. She didn't understand, but why is the Lord not ministering to this need? I'm trying my best. I'm trying to be a good sister, a good covenant sister in Israel. I'm trying to keep his precepts, keep his laws, keep his commandments, trying to raise my, you know, help my family, minister to my husband the best way that I can. But she had this great need and this great burden inside of her life. And it says there in verse 8, in verse 7 it says, they went up year by year, and she went up to the house of the Lord. She went up to the house of Jehovah year by year and left there with a barren womb. She went up year by year, feast by feast. And there was Jehovah with all of the blessing, all of the power. And it was never ministered to her for some reason. But God had an appointed time. God has an appointed time. And this was what was going to happen to her. Verse 8, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is the heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? That was a wonderful husband. He's trying to encourage her to say, look, don't worry about that inside of your life. But friends, when there's a deep inside of you, no matter how much other people may try to minister to you, It's only Jehovah that can minister to that need. You appreciate what other people are trying to say. You appreciate other people trying to encourage. We must do that. That the real comforter is Him. And no matter how much your husband tried to encourage her and help her, continually that burden would come back upon her. And friends, this was a divine burden. Because this is what she was appointed unto. This is why she was born. She was born to bring forth Samuel. She was born. Jehovah had a desire at that time. He wanted a prophet. He wanted a Samuel. There was a deep in Jehovah. There was the priesthood that got corrupt. It was time for the priesthood to be corrected. It was time for a first prophet to rise up in Israel. Since the days of Moses back there and Joshua. They'd been through the times of the judges. It was time now for the throne of David to be established. It was a very prophetic time, a very important time. And here was Hannah with this great desire, great burden. And she didn't understand why she was so burdened. But this was a divine burden. It was the Lord who had shut up her womb. There was a specific purpose in what she was going through. But she had never come to the tabernacle and been serious enough with God before to really understand what He had in His mind. But Jehovah had a special thought for her. There was a deep in Jehovah and there was a deep in Hannah. And it was the same deep. She wanted a man-child and Jehovah wanted a man-child. He wanted a prophet on the scene. But she doesn't know what's in the mind of Jehovah. She's not in communion with Jehovah at this time, so it's troubling her. And the enemy is troubling her. Peninnah's saying all of these things to her and making her a woman of a sorrowful spirit. So Elkanah tries his best. So it says in verse 9 that they rose up and they ate, and Eli was sitting by the temple. In verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul. But it was different this time. Because the Bible says, and she prayed unto the Lord. Amen. She took her burden to the right place. She just started to sense inside of herself, there's an opportunity now. I'm just feeling different this time. There's something here. Amen. I need to go and speak to the Lord. I need to go and pour out my soul before the Lord. I've spoken to my husband. It was good. He tried to encourage me. I've spoken to the other sisters. It was okay. But I need to go and speak to the Lord about this. And the prophet says in the message, Desperations, he says, Hannah, a barren woman in the Bible, she wanted a son. And she got to fasting for him. And she fasted and prayed until even the priest at the temple thought she was drunk. She was in such desperation. What is this? Desperation is a deep earnestness. It's a fervent approach. That's what a desperation is. It's that you've come to the stage that you can't go on anymore. And you're going to the Lord and you're telling Him that. That if He doesn't help you, there's nothing more that you can do. That's what desperation is. Desperation, when it comes the right way, it brings the correct focus into the life of a person. Because all of the secondary things are no longer important to you. Hannah didn't mind what people thought the way she dressed. She didn't mind the way people thought that she did her hair. She had a burden inside of herself. She had a desire, and that was the only thing she could think of is, I just want Jehovah to meet this desire. I just want Jehovah to minister to this need. And friend, she came to the right place at the right time. And Jehovah Himself was there, and Jehovah had a desire to raise up a prophet. And this was Hannah's appointed time. Hallelujah. And if she could just discern, this is my time. And something must have been telling her inside of herself that something's different this year. There's something different. There's something supernatural. There's something that's calling me on. There's something that wants me just to pour it out before the Lord. And friends, look what she does. She goes with her family to the public worship, the offer of the lambs, and do all the things they have to do. And then all the other sisters are going back and speaking about this, that, and the other. And where's Hannah? She's down at the altar. You see, she goes beyond. She doesn't just come at the time of worship when everybody else comes. She comes because the Bible says when they went to eat and drink and then they rose up. And then she came down to the altar. She came to the temple to call upon the name of the Lord. That is what happened to her at that time. The prophet says, listen how the prophet says it. He says, with the rest of the woman watching what kind of a bonnet the one had worn. You know how it goes. And the other one seeing what kind of clothes that they had on. And talking about how things were going on the farm. But not Hannah. She stepped right through the whole crowd and went to the altar. He said she came with a different approach to this feast. She didn't come there to see how the other sisters dressed, nor how the other sisters did their hair. She didn't come here like Peninnah did. Imagine Peninnah came to the same feast. But Peninnah came there to gossip about Hannah. Came to say cruel things about another sister and make her a sorrowful sister. People come for different purposes to these appointed times, friends. And that's why they receive nothing from them. Because you've got to approach it the way that Hannah approached it. She came to that feast with one desire, to have a conference with God. She didn't care about the other people, what they said, what they thought. She didn't worry. She said, I don't care about these things which they're talking. I need to have an audience with God. I need to get in personal contact with Jehovah because I've got a great need. And it's a great burden upon my soul. I need to get in fellowship with the supernatural, with the divine. And him, he need him who's veiled beyond the veil to unveil himself to me, to minister to my need. And she could feel it was her appointed time. And friends, if we would come this weekend with that kind of an approach, something's going to happen, friends. If we come with that kind of a desire to say, I'm coming to these meetings, even if I don't agree with half the people that are there, even if that person spoke against me, even if that person doesn't, it doesn't matter. Amen. This is an appointed feast of Jehovah. Amen. I'm coming to have a conference with Jehovah. Amen. I'm coming for a redemptive time with Jehovah. Amen. I'm coming to receive spiritual strength. Amen. I'm coming to get spiritual momentum Amen. Once again. I'm coming because I need more of a divine reality inside of my soul. Amen. And friends, that's the only reason we should come. If you're coming for any other reason this weekend, we're going to waste our time here. We're going to be like Peninnah, coming and going just for nothing. Or like Hannah coming and going with the burden still upon our shoulders and the grievous sorrow inside of our hearts. But if we were determined now by the grace of God and put ourselves before the Lord and pray for grace that he'll minister an entrance to us this weekend, then come focused, realizing the devil's going to fight us between now and then. He's going to try to distract us, disturb us, do whatever that he can. But if we can come in prayer and get an unction upon us, a quickening inside of our souls, that you're going to say, I'm determined this weekend it's going to be different. It's not just going to be like the other feasts that we've had. This time I'm going to meet with Jehovah. Something's speaking to me inside of my soul that there's a possibility. Hallelujah. That this can be an appointed time. This can be something different. This can be something which puts a stepping stone in my spiritual life that I'll never forget for the rest of my life. But it's up to us, friends, the way we're going to approach this. As you know, there's so much in the preparation and the approach. So the prophet says about the other sisters and the way they were talking about their clothes and all those things. But Hannah, she went right through the crowd and she went to the altar. She had been fasting. She wanted her reproach to be taken away. She wanted, but why? How can the devil still have this inside of my life? How can I still have this problem inside of my life? I'm in Israel. This is the covenant people of God. I'm in Shiloh. This is where God has chosen to place his name. How can I still have this reproach? I've come for years with the same reproach inside of my life. But that was her desire this time. And when all the others went to fellowship and talk about the farm and talk about this, that, and the other, she says, I'm not going to get caught up in that kind of an atmosphere. And what did she do? She went to the altar. She went to the closest that she could to get as near as she could to the Shekinah presence of Jehovah. And she went now and she started to speak to the Lord. And the prophet says, and she got on her knees. She never noticed the dignity of the temple. She didn't worry about what the place looked like or the secondary things that were taking place there. She said, she never noticed the dignity of the priests. She didn't worry about who was preaching or what was being said or who was leading songs. Ah, oh, it's Brother So-and-so leading songs this time. I wish it was Brother So-and-so. Friends, we need to come up higher above those kind of things. Or Brother So-and-so is preaching. Ah, I wish it was Brother So-and-so that Brother Andrew had invited. Friends, you don't get much from feasts when you approach it in that kind of a way. But when you come and say, I'm not worrying about what the temple looks like, what the priests look like, how they dress, whatever. I want to have fellowship with God. I want this to be an appointed time. I want this to be a spiritual anniversary inside of my life. That when I go from this place, I can say, from that time I was never the same. Something happened to me. I met him. There was a divine reality that was ministered to me by the grace of God. And friends, that's what Jehovah desires. That's what the Lord wants us when you come to his house. I believe that with all of my heart, friends. And that's why you find I remember that time when Brother Chukwuesi came, and then Brother Christian had that dream, if you remember. And he dreamt, and in the dream, he saw the church and was full, and he saw light shining down on certain people and great blessing. And he said, but it was surprising. It wasn't blessing everybody. And friends, that's the way that it is.
Amen.
God is no respecter of persons, but God respects the heart, the approach, the way that we approach these things. And if you just would bear that in mind and come like Hannah to an appointed time, friends, something wonderful can take place. Something wonderful Amen. Will take place, because Jehovah will never, ever forsake those that approach him with a true heart. Never. You will have a conference with God. Something will take place. The prophet says she never noticed those things. She was in such a distress until her tears were rolling down her cheeks and she was crying in desperation. Oh Lord God, give me a son. Give me a son. She had a desire. And there was something quickening her prayers now. And look what she's doing. She's praying perfectly in harmony with Jehovah. She's saying, Lord, give me a son. And Jehovah's saying, I need a son. I need a Samuel. And she's saying, Lord, please open my womb. And the Lord is saying, I need a prophet. Yeah. I need a prophet. Friends, when these two omnipotents meet, the prophet says, the miraculous is going to happen. When you get yourself in tune. This was her adoption. This was the purpose that she was born. And this time when she came sincerely to the appointed feast, God quickened her to fulfill the very purpose that she was born. That womb was always ordained to bring forth Samuel. That womb was always ordained to bring forth a blessing to the children of Israel. That womb was always ordained to bring forth something for the kingdom of God. But until she came to the appointed feast, and she came with a desperation, she came with an earnestness and a fervent desire, it just remained a potential in her. It never ever came to what it should be. And that's exactly the way that it is with us. But if we could come this weekend, friends, inside of every single one of us, God has placed the potential for him to glorify his own name, for him to manifest himself, for him, for us to be a blessing to his people, a blessing to the place that we are. But we need him to unveil himself from within the veil and to come and have a conference with us and to open up something inside of us the way that he opened up Hannah's womb. And friends, you'll know when it happens, because she knew when it happened. And the moment she got up off her knees, she knew something's different. Something's changed. It says she was no more sad. She knew the Lord had done something for her. There was some spiritual fertility inside of her now that she never had before. There was something that had been ministered to the very inner womb of who she was. And that's what we desire, friends, as we've come this weekend. Let's just take it a bit further and we come to a time of prayer. So she sought God according to his will. Listen to what the prophet says in desperation. He says, but notice, she wasn't selfish. When God heard her and answered her prayers and gave her a son, she gave him back to God. You see, she came, she had just the right desire. She had just the right approach. She came and she said, Lord, if you give me a son, if you'll take away my reproach, I'll give him to you all the days of his life. And what's that? How do we apply that to ourselves? You might be sick and you're saying, Lord, if you heal me, I'll use my strength for your glory. If you'll touch my body, I give this body to your service all the days of my life. You may have a burden, a desire, whatever that it is. And if you're saying, Lord, if you minister to this desire, I'll give it back to you. I'll give it to you as a testimony. I'll testify to everybody about what you've done for me. Friends, the prophet says you've got to tell God the right thing. Listen to what the prophet says in, I have heard, but now I see. He says, you have to have reasons for this. God doesn't give you those things just because you ask. Maybe she had asked many times before, Hannah. Maybe she had prayed those general prayers that we prayed many times before. Saying, Lord, please give me a son. Please give me a son. Nothing ever moved God. But this time she came earnestly, fervently, with the right motive and objective. And she said, Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him to you all the days of his life. And Jehovah said, that's exactly what I need. I need a son at this time.
Amen.
Someone who's separated, a Nazarite, which Samuel was. The prophet says, you cannot ask in faith unless there's a real objective to that, to be in the will of God. So if we're praying, wanting to be in the will of God, her prayer was perfectly in line with the will of God for her. It was perfectly in line. She broke into a channel that Jehovah had opened for her. And the Lord says, I've ordained you for this. And when she approached and said, Lord, give me a son. I'll make him a Nazarite for your service. The Lord said, you're praying exactly according to my will. And the Bible says, if you ask him anything according to his will, he gives it to us every time. But she had prayed her general prayers before, but this time it was different. Friends, you and I, who have ever got anything from God, we know those kind of prayers. There's a difference in that kind of a prayer. You might have beaten around the bush and gone around the problem many times. But there's got to be a time you take the bull by the horns and you say, enough is enough. This is my appointed time. Jehovah is near. This is my time of visitation. This time, like Jacob, I'm not letting him go until he blesses me. Hallelujah. And friends, when you approach prayer that kind of a way, and it's God's appointed time and God's appointed place and you're God's appointed person, and God wants to keep an appointment with you so that you can keep what God has appointed you to keep in your life, something's going to take place. And those are the wonderful testimonies that we have inside of our lives. But friends, sometimes they're few and far between because we don't approach them this kind of a way. Now let's just get one more point on this one here before we come to a time of prayer. Look at her approach. Look at the way she approached this. It says in verse 12, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Okay. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. That means you don't have to shout loud. You can if you want. Brother George likes to pray loud. Other people, you don't even have to say any words. You find Eliezer when he prayed at the well that day. It says he prayed within himself. But his prayer is recorded in the Bible. And God sent his angel before. It's not the amount of noise that you make. It's the earnestness of your desire inside of your heart. That's what it is. Because God looks on the heart. And she prayed without even making a noise, but her lips were just moving. She was desperate before the Lord. And it says Eli, the pastor, the minister, he saw her. And look what he says to her. And he goes to her and says, Eli thought she had been drunk. Verse 14, Eli said unto her, how long will you be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Friends. But that's the end of the convention for most people. The moment the minister preaches something which maybe is misunderstood or something, I'm not going to say amen anymore. That's what people do. But yeah, the pastor, the minister in the temple came and said, you're drunk. How can you be drunk? And she wasn't drunk. He accused her directly of something she didn't do. And friends, she had the right attitude.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And that's what we need. Amen. And the Lord tests us on these things, friends. Amen. All of us. He tests us. Amen. You let a minister come and say one thing you don't agree with. You don't say amen for the rest of the convention. Friends, don't do that. Shouldn't be like that. Where's grace and mercy? Everyone makes a mistake. Amen. Yeah, Eli made a mistake. And Hannah, listen now, it says verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I love that. Look at her respect. The man's called her a drunkard. Calling her a wicked woman, a daughter of Belial. And she says, no, my Lord. She gives him respect. And friends, God respects respect. God respects respect. That was a reaction to an action. And she reacted the right way. She reacted. She says, no, my Lord. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. Now, look what happens here. She's approached the tabernacle the right way. She's not involved in the general gossip and foolish talk of all the other women that were there. She's come to the right place. She's come to the altar at a time when she doesn't have to come. The service is over, but she has a desire before the Lord. She comes there. She pours out her soul before the Lord. And she must have felt that quickening. The Bible says we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Ghost quickens our prayers so that we can pray according to the will of God. And she must have felt in her prayers something different this time. Because she was now starting to pray in accordance with the will of God. So God started now to move in her fellowship with her in her prayer. And her prayer was quickened by Jehovah. And she must have felt there's something different about this. Like Jacob when he prayed that time and he felt the angel of the Lord. The prophet says the moment he felt the Lord was there, he took a hold of him and said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. She must have prayed like that. And then she has the right attitude towards the ministry there. Just the right attitude. despite what's been said. Imagine, all of these things put together. You know what it does? It brings the spirit of prophecy down upon the minister, upon Eli. Because that was prophecy that he says. I went and read what the Jews say about Eli and what the blessing that he gave. And the Jews, they say, the character and service of Samuel was sufficiently important to make his birth a subject of prophecy. So when now she comes and she says, "No, my Lord," and speaks so nice, verse 16, "Do not count your daughter, your handmaid, a daughter of Belial." Verse 17, the anointing comes upon this man now. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Hey.
Hallelujah.
Now, friends, that's what's going to happen this weekend.
Amen.
If we come with the right attitude, the spirit of prophecy is going to come upon the minister.
Amen.
And he's going to minister a blessing to us. Hallelujah. And he's going to speak things to us that are going to minister exactly to the situations that we're in.
Hallelujah.
And God is going to use him to minister a blessing to us. And God is going to put in his mouth the very seed word many times to minister to the situations that you've been failing to overcome each time you've been coming to the house of the Lord. But it depends on our approach to the man. We might look and say, but I wish it was brother so-and-so coming. Friends, who was Eli? Eli was just a high priest. He had his mistakes. He had his faults.
Amen.
But the attitude of this woman, God anointed the office of that man.
Amen.
And the man now spoke under the spirit of prophecy and prophesied over her. Spoke the blessing to her womb. When Eli says, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition," the correct translation is, "And the God of Israel will grant you your petition."
Hallelujah.
That was prophecy, friends. Go and read it for yourself. Go and search that verse. This man got anointed. By the same anointing that had quickened her prayer, now came and anointed the ministry to minister the spoken word blessing upon her for her to bring forth what she was supposed to bring forth. And that was the answer. And friends, I believe that as well. You get what you expect. If you come with respect. If you come, even if the man says a few things here and there you don't understand, but you say, it's okay, I'm not worrying about that. I'm here to have a conference with God. I'm looking to him who dwells within the veil. You'll find the anointing comes down upon the man every time. If it's a gifted man, and God will use that gift, and that man's gift, God will anoint it to speak directly to your situation.
Amen.
And you'll leave that place having received fresh orders from Jehovah. Having received clarity in your vision, answers to your questions, whatever it is that the need that you have. Just as much as Hannah, when it was ministered to her, look at the way that she left that place. Because it says in verse 18, and she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. That's wonderful. She knew. When that man spoke to me, that wasn't just the man, that was God in the man. She knew that. She knew that blessing, that when he preached there, it was exactly to me. It was exactly what Jehovah was saying to me to confirm the very reality I'd received in my prayer. In her prayer, she knew Jehovah had heard. And God came in the ministry of the priesthood and confirmed exactly, "Your prayer is heard. Go. God will answer you. It's finished." And she went from there and she was no more sad. And then came the confirmation. "These signs shall follow them that believe." And then she lays with her husband. She's now a fertile field. There's conception. She brings forth. Now listen how the prophet finishes it off. He says, she gave him back to God. And because that she was willing not to be selfish, after God had answered her prayer, God gave her a prophet. That was an extra blessing. Oh, he's just full of them. Those little extra things that he gives. He gave her not only a son, but a prophet. There'd been no open vision for many, many years in Israel. Samuel, the first prophet for many, many years. Because a mother got desperate that she could have no children. Maybe she was 60 years old, 70, and she prayed with desperation. She must have this child. What was it? God had spoken to her, no doubt. You can't be desperate until God speaks to you. Friends, God had spoken. It was her appointed time. God had said, "Seek my face now. You'll find me. Call upon me when I'm near." Don't let the door close. Don't miss your appointed time. This is your appointed time. If you seek me now, you're going to find me. If you knock now, the door's going to be opened. You've been knocking all these years, but it's your appointed time. You've come to the right place. It's the right time. You're the appointed vessel. It's time for the promise to come forth. And friends, I believe that as well. We've all had those appointed times. But there's many times we've missed it as well, haven't we?
Hallelujah.
We've come with the wrong attitude. We've come unprepared. We've come with sin in our lives. Whatever. We've all made those mistakes. But I'm really determined by the grace of God. Myself personally, that inside of the sanctuary of my own heart, I want to come this weekend as a prepared vessel.
Amen.
With my heart set to have a conference with God. With my prayer set towards the heavens to speak to him who dwells between the cherubim. To him who is veiled from our view. Beyond the veil of our mortality, that he may minister from beyond the veil, that the anointing may come upon his priesthood, that he may proclaim the blessing upon us, that you may bring forth what God has appointed for us to bring forth in this season. I'm sure that's your desire as well. So why don't we stand? Let's sing one song. Let's just come to a time of prayer that we may ask the Lord to bless these things, to help us, to prepare us. Let's pray for Brother Crosby, that the Lord will really move him out of the way. Get his human temperament out the way, his human ideas out the way, and let God minister through the ministry that God may minister us. And let's pray for ourselves that God will help us in these next couple of days to get ourselves out the way, to get our own ideas out the way, and all these distractions of life, that you may come with singleness of purpose, singleness of heart, to gather in his appointed place, at his appointed feast, his appointed time. So we might receive what God has appointed for us to receive. That you may bring forth what God has appointed for us to bring forth. That it may be a spiritual anniversary, a spiritual blessing. And we'll give it back to the Lord as a testimony for his glory.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Save me by thy grace.
Whoa.
my humble cry. Humble cry, my Lord.
While on others
thou art calling, my Lord.
Do not pass me by.
Since let's put ourselves before the Lord now, just with this song in mind. Do not pass me by. Let's ask for the Lord's blessing on these meetings. Let's ask for the Lord's blessing upon the minister. Let's ask for the Lord's blessing upon our souls, and that the Lord might prepare us. Let's ask for the Lord's blessing upon our families and our brothers and our sisters. Let's pray first of all now when you pray. Let's just pray for these meetings coming up ahead. Let's say, Father, glorify thy name. And when thou passest by, Lord, help me hear my humble cry. Let's all put ourselves before the Lord. Heavenly Father, how needy we are of thee. How we bring ourselves before thee, Lord, even at this time, to thank you, Father, that you have your appointed freedom, your grace, that your mercy will be extended. Father, Lord, let nothing, Lord, touch, Lord, restore, Lord, Jesus, Lord, help her, Lord, Jesus, Lord, we ask your mercy, Lord,
amen.
Since before we come to prayer requests, so let's sing that song, Father of Life, seated on the throne of grace. Let's really just appreciate the Lord, friends, for his grace and his mercy. And I just wanted to give a short testimony just of something which happened at work. It was quite an outstanding thing. You know, my boss, the owner of the company, like I've always said, he's a very respectful man to me. Today he was shouting and swearing at other people, but he came to speak to me like a lamb. It was amazing. He was so angry with people, but I've never seen him angry. It's been the grace of God. And I told you once before, he came to me and he said, Andrew, he says, my son, Tim, he also works in the company. He said, my son and his wife, they can't have children. They've tried for years and years and years. And I said, what do you want, Vaughan? He says, would you pray for them? So I said, definitely I'll pray for them. And his son came to me last week and his son came. He didn't know we'd been praying for him. His son came and said, Andrew, you know what's happened? I said, what? He said, it's a miracle. He says, my wife, 12 weeks with child. And you know what I really saw from that, friends? I saw it was the respect of my boss towards the things of God. That's what it was. It wasn't so much anybody's prayers. I so much believe God so respected that man for his respect that he opened that lady's womb. And it was funny because when Tim came to me, the son, the first words he said to me, he said, it's a miracle. He says, my son's with child. My wife's with child. She's well, well advanced. I really wanted to thank the Lord for that because that was a great, great thing that the Lord did for them. And I really do believe, friends, if ever we respect the things of God, God will always minister blessing back unto us. Let's sing that song, right?
Father of life, seated on your throne of grace, it's only by your mercy we are saved. Lord, you have said, if we call upon your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry out your name, El Shaddai, God of grace, Lord Most High,
Most High,
Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ,
we rely on your name, Adonai, crown of grace, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father of love, never failing to forgive, it's only by the mercy
for you to live.
We're only to tell the world about your name until the day you take us all away. So we cry
Shaddai, God of grace, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ, wherein we rely
on your grace,
Adonai, crown of grace, Lord Most High,
Jesus Christ.
So we cry,
out your name,
El Shaddai, God of grace, Lord
Most High, Jesus Christ,
we rely
on your grace,
on your name,
El Shaddai,
God of grace,
Lord Most High, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Friends, we've got quite a few requests here, and some of them are very serious ones, so let's really put them before the Lord. We have some time here. May the Lord lay upon your heart, whichever of these, the burden to really put them before the Lord. The first one, it's just Brother Maxwell is asking for prayer. He contacted me today. He was going to Brother Maciek's house this afternoon to try to encourage them to bring them along this evening. But Brother Maxwell is asking for prayer because Brother Maciek's family, when he found them there, they're all very sick. That's why Brother Maxwell wasn't able to come either from there. So he's asking, please, if the saints could remember them in prayer, Brother Maciek and his family. Also, Brother Will's asking, and Sister Julie, if the saints could please remember Hadassah. She's not feeling well today. So that's for Brother Maciek and his family and for Hadassah. Then Sister Lydia has given one here. Brother Sitek, remember Brother Sitek? He visited us back there when we were in the old church. He's kindly asking for prayer for his niece in Germany. She's very ill, and the doctors can't find out what it is. So Brother Sitek is asking for prayer for his niece. Also from Sister Lydia, if the saints could also remember Brother Milano. Remember Brother Milano? He came when we had Brother Beckett's meetings there in the tent. And the two brothers came from Slovakia. And the one brother was quite a big brother, and he played the guitar very well, Brother Milano. So he's asking, he visited us 2009 for the convention. He's asking for prayer as his sister has just had an operation for cancer. So that's Brother Milano. His sister is asking for prayer. And Brother Virgo, Sister Ingrida, asking for prayer for Sister Ingrida's uncle, whose name is Custis. He's got stomach cancer and has only been given about a month to live in Lithuania. So he's in Klaipeda. He's in the same town. He's in hospital where Brother Gilvinus is. So what we wanted to do really tonight, I said to Brother Virgus, we'll really put it before the Lord. And I said to Brother Virgus, maybe to contact Brother Gilvinus to get down to the hospital to see him where he is. The man's an unbeliever. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe at all. So he really needs the grace of God first for his soul. So let's pray that Brother Gilvinus will get a quickening. That first when Brother Virgus, Sister Greta, phoned the man in hospital, that he'll open the door to allow someone to come and tell him about Christ. And then let's pray for Brother Gilvinus that the Lord will really anoint him with the spirit of redemption and open the heart of this man there in the hospital. And then let the Lord do what he wants from there. Once the man's soul is right with God, all things are possible for that man. So that man there, his name is Custis, if you can remember him as well. Let's remember for this weekend, Brother Brian, Sister Deirdre, with the issues of their car as well. They were wanting some prayer for that as well, that everything will work out well for them to come. They couldn't come last weekend. Let's pray for grace for them. I just wanted also just to really thank the saints. I put in a request some time back. I said I'd been invited to go to Ukraine for the Easter in May to take their meetings there, but I didn't have a passport. So I got my passport back late from the British authorities, got it back in January. I went to the embassy in Dublin here, the South African embassy. They said it'll take at least 4 months to get a passport. So it was too late because I needed in April so I can apply for a visa from the Ukraine embassy to go. So there was one sister, I phoned Brother George Martin. He said there's a certain sister in his church who works in home affairs. Send her all the details. I did. It seemed like she was going to help. Then she went quiet for a couple of weeks, and I tried to contact her, and she wouldn't answer back. So time was going until last week. Then finally, I got a hold of Brother George again. I said, please, Brother George, I don't know what's going on here, but the sister's not saying anything. So Brother George said, let me go down there myself. Send me whatever you need to send. So I had to quickly courier everything to Brother George. He went down to the passport office last week, and he just met a certain lady there at the passport office. And he gave her, she wouldn't even take my forms and my documents from him. So I got a text message while I was at work from Brother George saying, phone this lady, her name is Baba, whatever, whatever. This is her number. So I had to quickly phone from work and speak to the lady. And she didn't understand what I was speaking about. I said, please, I need you to help me with the passport. I've got to get to the Ukraine by May for meetings. She said, oh, I said, I've given them to Pastor George, all of my documents. He wants to come and give them to you. She says, okay, I'll help you on one basis. That if things come through in time, you'll remember me in prayer.
Hallelujah.
So I said, definitely I'll remember you in prayer. So that was last week. So just today, I got an email from the brothers in Ukraine saying they're getting nervous now. They're saying, brother, are you coming for the Eastern meetings because you're taking long with your things? So I said, okay, let me find out. So I texted that lady. I said, Baba, do you think my things will be ready? She said, let me go and check. And then she texts me back saying, the passport's ready. Brother George can come and pick it up tomorrow.
Amen.
That was 5 days to get the passport. It was nothing but the grace of God. So I text Brother George, he's going to collect the passport tomorrow. He's going to be sending it up. Amen. So then I sent an email to the brothers in Ukraine. I said, all is well. God has granted grace. I really do appreciate it because I felt so much in my soul that I need to go to the Ukraine. And everything seemed against it. It looked like it wasn't going to be possible because I needed it within 4 weeks. But by the grace of God, it just took 5 days. And to me, that was a real, real wonderful thing that the Lord did. I really do appreciate that. So let's sing one more song. Let's put these needs before the Lord. Brother Milano's sister, Brother Sitek asking for prayer for his daughter. Let's remember this man, Kastis, in Lithuania. And any other needs, Hadassah, Brother Machik and his family, and whatever else the Lord puts on your heart. Let's sing one song. Put these petitions before the Lord. They will ask Brother Francois kindly to come and close for us in prayer.
My life, Lord, be glorified.
Be glorified.
Be glorified.
Be glorified.
In my life, Lord.
In my church, Lord,
in my church, Lord, be glorified,
be glorified,
in my church, Lord, be glorified,
in my home, Lord.
Bless your name, I bless your name. And then let's put these petitions before the Lord and then we close in a word of prayer.
Prisoners chained with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night,
and in their pain began to sing. Chains were loosed and they were free.
I bless your name,
I bless your name.
Hallelujah.
I bless your name.
Oh,
I give you honor. I give you praise.
I give you praise.
You are the light.
You are the light.
The truth.
bless your name.
I bless your name.
Sami Kara.
Reach out and pray.
Reach out and pray.
Defy those chains.
Defy those chains.
And they will fall.
Oh, you will find they will fall
in Jesus' name.
I bless your name.
I bless.
Unto me, lead and guide me, Lord. Just grant unto me, Lord, opportunity and occasion and chance, Lord, to bear record, to bear witness of Thee for Your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Just ask Brother Francois if you wouldn't mind coming to close. If you can also just remember Friday evening when the brothers go out to give out some leaflets and tracts for this weekend. Let's pray that the Lord will direct those things in a supernatural way, using the natural things in a supernatural way. For His glory, we ask and pray. And just may the Lord grant us traveling mercies, each of us, as we go home, in Jesus' name.
Father, once again, we come at end of this prayer meeting, Father.
Amen.
To thank You for Your presence among us.
Yes, Lord.
Father, to bring this request before Thee, Father, many times we found ourselves unworthy, Father.
Amen.
But Your word tell us that You make a man as a co-worker with Thee, Father.
Amen. Yes,
not
Lord.
Because on our own merit, Father, but because of the blood that was shed 2,000 years
yes,
ago,
Lord.
Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we believe that the blood never lose its power, Father.
Amen.
And You have made the commission Yourself. You say, these signs shall follow them that believe
yes,
in Thy name, Father. Amen. We fully believe in Thy name. We fully believe in Thy word, Father.
Yes,
that why we are taking You by that you are the Father, Amen. That you shall manifest Amen. Yourself, because you say that everything you shall ask in my name, Amen. It shall be given unto yes, thee, Father. Lord. You the great physician, Amen. You the one who can touch where the doctor can't touch, Father.
Yes,
you
yes,
the
Lord.
One who can see where the doctor can't see, Father. Amen. That's why we ask you that you shall touch everybody that is sick tonight, Father. We see the prayer request that was made. Some of them, we can't pronounce their name, yes, but Lord. You knew them before Amen. The foundation yes, of the world. Yes, you, Lord. The creator of everything. You, the one who yes, give Lord. Life, Father. Yes, the life doesn't come from nowhere else except Amen. From you, Amen. The God of heaven, Father. Amen. That's why we bring them at thy hand, Father.
Yes,
the uncle of Sister Ingrid, Father. Amen. We want to bring him at thy hand, yes, Father, Lord. That you shall touch him. Him there, please, let Jesus. Be a testimony like the Amen. Testimony yes, Lord, yes, that Lord. Come from our pastor, Father.
Amen.
When they come, they say the wife is conceived, Father.
Amen.
What is great glory that will be given unto
yes,
thee, Father?
Lord, yes,
because
Lord.
Someone was praying, Father,
Amen.
Without even the person knowing, Father.
Amen.
We believe
yes, Lord,
that you, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord,
Amen.
Will provide to the need of thy people,
yes,
Father.
Lord,
if we
yes,
look
Lord.
Back in the Amen. Bible, we look at Joshua, Father.
Amen.
It wasn't his own problem that he stopped the sun, Father.
Amen.
But it was for his neighbors, Father.
Amen.
But you did for his, for your own glory, Father.
Yes,
and we ask you that the same God that we are worshipping today,
Amen.
You are yesterday, today, and forever, Father.
Yes,
that you shall manifest in a special way, Father.
Amen.
That where they say there's a cancer, the doctor could come the next morning, Father. He could see there's nothing found
Amen.
There. What glory and honor will be given unto
yes,
thee, Father.
Yes,
we know that you are
yes,
God that
Amen.
Operates in a miracle's way, Father.
Amen.
That's why we want to remember also, Brother Sitek, daughter at thy hand, Father. That you shall do the same thing, Father.
Amen.
Because your prophet tell us, Father, that in the atonement, there's the healing also there,
yes,
Father.
Lord,
and
yes,
we
Lord.
Claim the healing
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
because
Lord.
The scripture says, by your stripe we are healed, Father.
Amen.
And we believe, Father, that you will be able to touch the daughter, Father, and to make her whole once again, Father.
Yes,
also, for the brother that came in 2009 convention,
Amen.
Father,
Amen.
You know his need, Father.
Yes,
you know what's going on exactly, Father.
Yes,
what we can ask you, that yes. you shall visit him, Father,
Amen.
That tonight, that the angel of the Lord
Please,
shall
Lord.
Be in their cup, Father,
Amen.
And
Amen.
Minister
Amen.
The healing in the wonderful name of
yes,
our Lord,
Lord
Jesus Christ. So, Father, also, we want to remember Tara at thy hand,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
As she's not feeling well with her heart,
Amen.
Father.
Amen.
She's respectful to the kingdom of God, Father.
Yes, Lord.
You know her heart, Father.
Amen.
Even when she traveled, she desired that you shall minister inside of the life of her grandmother, Father.
Amen.
And you did it. We thank you
yes,
for that,
Lord.
Father. And we want to also, Father, that you shall manifest himself, yourself, at inside of her life, Father.
Yes,
remember last time when she prayed, Father, on the meeting when Brother Piniel came, Father,
Amen.
She says, I want something to happen, Father.
Amen.
And you heal her teeth, Father.
Amen.
You the same God who can take away the heart problem from
yes,
her, Father.
Lord, yes,
that's why we ask you that you shall grant her the healing
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, the prayer request, Father, and a spoken one, Brother Magic with his family, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we know that the sickness is nothing but the result of sin, Father.
Amen.
But we know that the provision was made for our sin, Father.
Yes.
Because the prophet tells us, indeed, in Eden, before the sin could enter, there was no sickness.
Amen.
Man was in the perfect condition, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Everything that we know, the name that you are giving unto them, cancer or whatever it is,
Amen.
Flu, Father, we know that those are demons, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we cast all the demons out from their life
yes.
in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
That you shall make them whole, that they shall be able, Father, to be in the meeting in this weekend, Father.
Please,
that they shall be able to receive something, Father.
Amen.
We want also to remember our brother who's coming to preach
Amen.
At thy hand, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We know, Father, that it takes more than a man to do this work,
Amen,
Father.
Amen.
That's
yes,
why we
Lord,
ask
Lord.
You that you shall overshadow him
Amen.
With thy Holy Spirit,
Please,
Father.
Lord.
The same way you did with Mary, Father.
Amen.
And Mary conceived the male child
Amen.
That was the Savior of the universe, Father.
Yes,
if you could overshadow him with the Holy Spirit, Father,
Please, Lord.
And the Lord Jesus Christ will be able to speak out of him, Father.
Amen.
And you people will receive something, Father.
Yes,
because
Lord.
Each time when you speak, something good happens, Father.
Amen.
That's why we are under expectation
yes.
that you, Jehovah Jireh, you will provide to the need of each of us, us a heart, Father. Yes, we know that you says those come hungry, they will be full, Father.
Yes,
that why we want to empty ourselves from all the things of the world, Father.
Yes,
and we want you to fill us with thy Holy Spirit.
Please,
we want you to fill us with thy instruction, Father.
Amen.
Bless your bride wherever they are in world, Father. Wherever
Amen.
They are, Father,
Amen.
In Bambridge, in
Amen.
Belfast, Father,
yes,
in
Lord.
Cork, in Donegal, Father,
Amen.
That you be their portion, Father.
Please,
that you shall help us, Father, to get where you want us to be, Father.
Yes,
we thank you, Father, for the life that you are giving to us freely every day,
Amen.
Father.
Yes,
and the time that you are given to us to be in thy house, Father.
Amen.
This time, Father, they are special time, Father.
Amen.
This time, Father, they are privileged time, Father.
Yes,
because we could find ourselves somewhere else, but we find ourselves under the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
the burden bearer, Father. That's why we cast all our burden unto thee, Father,
yes,
that you shall make them easy for us, Father. Because we know, as the scripture show us, Father, that day when Anna went and she prayed, Father,
Amen.
Something happened to inside of her life, Father. Father, many of our burden, Father, we know that if there's a touch from thee, Father, something will happen, Father.
Yes,
that's why we ask you to touch us all, Father.
Amen.
That when we depart from this place, we shall depart lifted up, Father.
Amen.
We shall depart and decide us from the things of this world, Father.
Yes,
Father, bless your servant. Renew the virtue to his life, Father.
Yes,
that you shall be, that each time when he stand here behind the pulpit, we shall be able to receive something, Father.
Amen.
Bless Brother Maxwell. When he went to place, let's be a blessing there, Father.
Amen.
Let you bring the word of encouragement, Father,
Amen.
To the soul that needs encouragement,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
Everybody that are not able to make it tonight,
Amen.
You know the reason, Father.
Yes,
we don't know. Sometimes we guess it this, it that, but you know exactly
yes.
what needed, Father.
Amen.
That's why we ask you that you shall deal faithful to their heart, Father.
Amen.
As we see the day approaching, the scripture
yes,
says,
Lord.
We shall not forsake the assembling of the saints, Father.
Amen.
We ask you, Father, that you shall bring a revival
yes.
in their life, Father.
Amen.
That you shall do something good, Father, that each time when we gather like this, Father, it shall be a blessing, Father.
Yes.
And we shall give glory and honor unto thee, Father.
Amen.
We bring all at thy hand. We want to depart from this place, Father, full with thy Holy Spirit,
yes.
full with thy fire burning inside of our heart, Father.
Amen.
We ask you that the angel of the Lord shall go before us
Please,
and protect us from all the wiles of the enemy, Father,
Amen.
That nothing shall happen to our life
Please,
except
Lord.
What you predestinated for us.
Amen.
Bless us all. We want to depend. We want to depart in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless us. Thanks, brother.
My life, Lord, in my